I'm your host, Annie Bowles, and this is News Du Jour. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the News Du Jour. Happy Monday. I hope you guys aren't dreading this Monday, but are excited for it. Right here at the top of the episode, I wanted to let you guys know that I will be getting more into the voting law changes that are coming out of Georgia, Florida, and Texas, and more states. But there's a lot of detail here. And even though I've touched on them before, I really think that there needs to be a full bonus episode dedicated to diving into the specifics of each state's laws and propositions and what stages each of them is in. So stay tuned for that over the next few weeks. There's been a lot of movement on the subject, and we will get into it because it's super important to our democracy. Nothing is more integral than the right to vote, am I right? Anywho, the biggest thing I want you guys to remember on this topic, though, is that as long as you are a citizen, voting is your right. And there will always be red tape, and there may even always be people trying to suppress voters. But that's why it's vital that we stay up to date on our state's voting laws and rules for us. That is a major goal of Sugar Free Media since we were founded, to make sure you have all the knowledge and tools that you need to be an informed participant in our democracy via voting. We are here to support you every step of the way. Stay tuned. So for our first story today, we wanted to discuss a Taliban blast. So I stated that as a question because it still is a question. There was a deadly blast that went off in Afghanistan. But was it the Taliban or someone acting alone? Let's get into the details and some potential implications. So first off, let's discuss what exactly happened. So on April 30th, the day before American troops were set to start pulling out of Afghanistan, a truck filled with bombs pulled up next to a guest house in the capital city and exploded, killing some 27 people inside and injuring many more. It's been labeled a suicide bombing. Obviously, as someone who lives in Oklahoma City, I have to acknowledge this one definitely hits close to home, but this is something, keep in mind, that is a much more common occurrence in this part of the world. But the Taliban tend to claim their conquests pretty quickly. They're proud of them. And with this one, they've been silent, leaving us and the Afghani people to wonder, have they indeed broken their agreement signed under the Trump administration, declaring not so subtly that the peace deal is off? The guest house itself actually belonged to the family of a prominent Afghani senator who was recently assassinated by the Taliban. Could this be them finishing the job by taking out their family's business? The guest house was also full of students, and we know that terrorist groups tend to be anti-education as a way to maintain control. If it is the Taliban, though, it's a risky move because they want the U.S. out of there. So why would they start things right back up again as we begin to leave? Why not wait until we're totally gone? Well, It could be because Biden moved the date. So the deal that was brokered between the Trump administration and the Taliban listed May 1st as the actual pullout date. But the Biden administration opted to extend it for a more tapered withdrawal and the added symbolism of 9/11 as the official withdrawal date. When this announcement was made, it totally angered the Taliban, who vowed to retaliate if the May 1st agreement was not honored. Could this be them following through with that threat? The Afghani government certainly thinks so. They have placed blame squarely on the Taliban and their insurgents. We will definitely let you guys know if any additional information comes to light on this story. Both sides of the aisle have been working to pull us out of this war. But at what costs? So for our next story, over 100 colleges will require vaccinations to attend. DePaul, Emory, Stanford, Wesleyan, and dozens more will require vaccinations for students to attend school there. After college dorms and parties have proven to be somewhat of the quickest way to spread the virus, schools are not playing around. They're worried about variants developing on campuses and their students' and faculty members' safety. Baylor University and Calvin College opted not to require vaccinations, but rather to incentivize them, with things like those who are vaccinated don't have to do these mandatory COVID tests, etc. But what we're seeing is that the vast majority of colleges are saying you need to be vaccinated. So this is an interesting and aggressive move. We'll see how it plays out for them. So for our next story, what is this whole deal with Gavin Newsom? So I've been kind of avoiding telling this story because it is so California specific, but now it's become a much bigger deal. So I definitely need to fill you guys in on all these details and catch you up to speed. So it looks like the state of California may have to vote soon on whether or not to quote unquote recall Governor Newsom from office. Say what? That's a thing? Well, state laws differ. But in California, if voters are super unhappy with their duly elected governor, they can petition to recall them. And it seems that California Republicans have enough signatures on a petition to make that happen. Now, they can't just kick him out of office with those signatures. There's a lot of red tape and hoops that they need to jump through. What would happen next is another statewide vote on whether to keep him in office or not. Voters in California have a wide variety of gripes against Governor Newsom over things like immigration, COVID restrictions, criminal justice reform, and high tax rates. But mostly, it comes down to Republican voters being upset over Newsom's more liberal policies. Of course, progressives believe that this recall could set them back significantly when it comes to changes made under his leadership. And they feel that this action is unfair and that Republicans need to wait until the next election to challenge Newsom. Now that it seems that this recall is all but sure to happen, Democrats have actually swung into action to defend Governor Newsom, including Kamala Harris, who put out a video statement saying how proud she is to have worked alongside him. Should this recall actually become a thing and happen, we definitely will let you guys know when it's happening, especially for our California listeners, so you guys can stay tuned and make sure to vote. But it's a quickly unfolding story, and we're going to have to keep you posted. So we have a ton to go over today, and I just wanted to say we may go a little bit over on time, and I apologize in advance. I really try not to do that, but we'll see where we end up. I wanted to tell you guys for our next story about a stampede in Israel that killed over 45 people. Trigger warning here, this story involves death. So in Israel, COVID has been handled extremely well. They were really able to snuff it out, and their vaccination program has been extremely efficient, actually even more efficient than here in the U.S. population-wise. They have been able to slowly open back up again and get back to everyday life. And there is a religious holiday observed by Orthodox Jews in Israel that, according to NPR, is usually a two-day event that happens every year. It's kind of a big celebration. But this year, they expected lower attendance due to COVID, so they changed it to only one day. But because last year this event was canceled due to lockdowns, there was a ton of interest this year. And that shift down to just one day made it super, super crowded. Some groups estimate as many as 100,000 people were there, very tightly packed in. This is an event that involves music, lots of dancing, grape juice, and even a grandstand where the music's being played and the event is being led. It's a little confusing as to what exactly began the chaos, and, you know, different accounts are varying. But when it came to what we know happened, pushing began, people started slipping on spilled water and grape juice, and then all of the sudden, the grandstand collapses and all hell breaks loose. The scene was so chaotic, it was even difficult for police to get in there to assist or rescue anyone or give medical assistance. About 45 people died during the event, many of whom were trampled to death. Some were only children. Some were Americans. 150 were injured on top of those who died. And from the videos, it looked like this was a group of all men, or vastly majority were men. And I just wanted to fill you guys in on that detail as well. It's a very sad day for Israel, and our hearts go out to everyone affected by this tragedy. So for our next story, I wanted to give you guys a quick Alexei Navalny update. Okay, so Navalny has made his first public appearance since his hunger strike via a video. If you aren't caught up on this story or who Alexei Navalny is or what's going on with him, definitely look back through our episodes for ones that go over this. He's an opposition leader in Russia who's been jailed unfairly and has been on a hunger strike. And this video was made to announce that their formal group will be shutting down after immense pressure from the Kremlin and efforts to get it labeled a terrorist organization in the country. Now, just because this organization goes away doesn't mean the movement does. I mean, how can you squash a feeling? You can't change people's hearts. And these people are suffering, and they're going to continue to fight for a better life, but it may be under a different banner. Navalny looked gaunt in the video footage, but he spoke as forcefully as ever, and I think there's still reason to hope that this movement will bring about some real change for Russia. And then lastly, I wanted to give you guys a quick update regarding the crisis in India. So in case you didn't know, all of India is experiencing a very severe COVID-19 outbreak that locals believe is some type of a different variant. And so unfortunately, the White House has opted to restrict travel between the US and India due to this enormous increase in cases, as well as the potential for a new variant that could potentially be resistant to vaccines. So this is, you know, obviously a very serious situation. Again, like in the last update, if you don't know much about this, definitely look through our past episodes because we go into a lot more detail there. And that is the news du jour. Kind of made it on time, kind of 15 minutes, 30 seconds. Okay. Hope you guys have a great Monday. Today, I wanted to leave you guys with the quote, "The internet is the first thing that humanity has created that humanity does not understand."Thank you.